Yeah, welcome into this week's podcast, WTUZ, Big Z Sports, Eric McElroy, Chris Kale, also on Facebook Live. Our podcast, of course, not only on Facebook Live, it will be up on our website too, the audio version here shortly. Brought to you by Action Extreme Sports. Go see more at AESRacing.com or physically go see them 16th Street there in New Philadelphia, 241 16th Street to be specific. Action Extreme Sports, New Philadelphia, the latest and best power sports products, all your needs. Go see them. Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com. Chris Kale, Christmas good?
Yeah, I guess.
glad you're back home. At least I know you were working.
Yes,
I was off, but I was physically working manual labor in my own basement. It was it's dubbed the Great Christmas Flood of 2017.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like I told you earlier this week, it will be a story that you will be able to tell for many years to come, and I promise you, someday you will laugh.
It's a story I don't want to relive. At least at this moment. Thanks for talking me off the ledge on whatever day that was. My basement was flooded like 2 or 3 days in a row. I don't remember what day that was. But hey, we're back. Joe Gekler sadly is gone, enjoying his family and everything during the holiday season. But we're here to break everything down that happened in the wide world of sports over the past few days since we last saw each other Friday.
Yes, right? Yes. And I'll tell you what, it was a good weekend. Yep. All in all, hope everybody out there in Facebook Live land and on Webland had a great
Webland
Christmas. And, you know, looking forward to New Year's and getting 2018 started. 2017, one of those years that was, it was good, bad, you know, kind of like most years. Hopefully 2018 is better for the both of us.
Yeah, because Big Z Sports won't be back again until, you see, we're off this Friday, which is, what day is that, actually?
The 30th.
No, this coming Friday, the 29th.
Yes, okay.
We're off this Friday. See, we won't be back together in studio on Friday for a show until the 5th of January, I think that is.
2018.
Yeah, until next year.
And how long will it take you to not write that?
Forever. I don't write checks anymore, though.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I don't cash many either, to be honest.
Good point.
But hey, you have everything with high school for us, and then we'll dive into some NBA Christmas Day stuff after that.
Definitely. High school basketball, of course, from Friday night. It was rivalry week. We talked about that on the air on the 22nd. The New Philadelphia Quakers, they win a slugfest 33-28 over the Dover Tornadoes. New Philadelphia held the Tornadoes to just one field goal and 8 points in the final quarter, thanks to two huge blocks by junior Nate Vole. The Quakers now 5-2, 4-2 in the ECOL. They were led by Joe Boos with 15 points and 6 boards.
I'm sure they do that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. His brother played a couple of years ago, and when they made a couple big runs deep down to Athens, and yeah, that was a big one. Dover, they fall to 4-3, 3-3. In conference, they were led by Shamar Morton with 8 points. Of course, Tim Plants' nephew or cousin, Shamar Morton, doing good things over there in Doverland. Indian Valley, they pulled away from Claymont 72-46. The Braves remain undefeated at 6-0, 5-0 in the IVC. They were led by Ryan Berger with 15 points, Connor McGuire with 14. Taron Harris led the Stangs, who dropped to 1-5 and 1-4 in the IBC with 16 points and 6 boards. You've heard that name before, Taron Harris.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. You know,
takes me back to the fall.
He's the quarterback of the football team, and he's also the floor general for the Stangs. Highland, they ripped Newcomberstown 90-33 behind 16 three-point field goals. The Hawks were led by Kobe Troyer with 25 points, including 7 from behind the arc. The Trojans, they were led by Levi Kilpatrick with 9 points. Buckeye Trail took care of Ridgewood 74-52. Dylan Beaver with 20 points for the Warriors, and Chase Griffith led the Generals with 24. Strasburg, they hammered Conotton Valley 70-38 as Race King led all scorers with 28 for the Tigers. Ray Burdett led the Rockets with 26 points. Minerva over Carrollton 52-46. The Warriors were led by Adam Chaney with 16. Worcester squeezed by West Holmes 47-43. Calvin Blair with 15 points for the Generals. Chase Wells led the Knights with 14. And East Canton down Tuskegee Valley 56-43, as both teams are now 2-4 in the season. Jared Kenzel led the Trojans with 14. And then on Saturday, the 23rd, a couple games on the slate. Malvern squeaked by Minerva 58-56 as Mark Maley completed a three-point play with 21 seconds left.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
To seal the win. You know, the Malvern Hornets playing pretty well. Derek Hutchinson had 18 for the Hornets. Maley had 12. And then Lake Catholic, they downed Highland 65-47 as Lake Catholic used a 22-6 lead to start the game, and they were able to hold on. Kobe Troyer had 14 points to pace the Hawks.
Whenever you start the game 22-6, I mean, yeah, tough to come back.
You ain't a kidding. It is 22-6. That's pretty good run. And Lake Catholic, one of those powerhouse teams, of course. Moving on to girls action from Saturday, the 23rd, and of course the girls. I think it's next weekend that that classic in the country is coming up. Is it next weekend or is that later in the year?
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
You know what
weekend.
I'm talking about,
we'll look into it.
The big, huge high school tournament that they have out at Highland at the Perry Reese Center out there. I thought it was always over the holidays, but we'll have to
wait. It could be coming up, 2018.
I think it is. New Philadelphia, they used 8 three-pointers to help hammer Dover 70-38. The Lady Quakers improved to 7-2, 5-0 in the ECOL. They forced 20 tornado turnovers.
Well, listen, if you force 20 turnovers and nail seven threes, odds are you're going to win that game.
Yeah, good things. Aaliyah Currents with 15 points and 8 boards. The Lady Tornadoes dropped to 3-5, 2-3 in the ECOL. They got 15 from Jordan Kaiser, who, by the way, Jordan Kaiser had a career high 25 points earlier in the week last week. So congratulations to her. Gary Offenberger got his 200th career win as Sandy Valley's head coach as they blitzed Conotton Valley 74-37 behind a 25-4 third quarter.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Putting them away to start the second half there.
Yeah. Carly Altimore, she fired in 27 points, 7 boards, and 9 steals. Girl is a stat stuffer. Telling you what. That kid is good. Hopefully she gets some college offers.
How many? Give me that again. Give me that stat line again.
27 points, 7 boards, 9 steals.
9 steals. How's that even possible?
I don't know.
Almost a triple-double with steals.
Yeah, and she had like, what was it, 5 or 6 assists added to that last week when we talked about her on Friday night. Carly Altimore, heck of a ball player up there in Cardinal country. Is again, the Lady Cardinals, they forced 30 turnovers to improve to 6-3 and 3-1 in the IBC.
Turnovers are contagious in ladies basketball this time of year.
Gabby Rice led the Lady Rockets with 10. Tuskegee Valley wrapped up East Canton. Get it wrapped up before Christmas?
Okay. Very nice.
61-38 as Boston McKinney led the Lady Trojans with 12 points as Tuskegee Valley improves to 6-1, 4-0 in the IBC. Strasburg, they flew past TCC 54-43 as Alyssa Sims led the Lady Tigers with 25. Sage Winnie had 19 points for the Lady Saints. Indian Valley snowed out New Cumberstown 44-23.
Full of puns and who knows what else.
44-23 as Braylon Rostad tallied 17 for the Lady Braves. Maddie Fish and Amaris Wells paced the Lady Trojans with 8 apiece. Garraway got 18 points from Kaylee Regula, and they toppled Claymont 65-39. Milana Harmon led the Lady Stangs with 11. Malvern disposed of Minerva 60-37 as Jasmine Goldsworthy pumped in 24 for the Lady Hornets, and Kelsey Hewlett, another name we talk about a lot with the Lady Hornets, added 21 points. And the final game of the weekend, Buckeye Trail, they took care of Ridgewood 75-33 as Kaylee Redis, I believe that's how you say it, Redis, led the Lady Generals with 20. And then from swimming action, congratulations to Dover swimmer Caitlin Henning, who signed a letter of intent to swim at Clarion University, a D2 school in Clarion, Pennsylvania next year. She will pursue a degree in nutrition and fitness for the Golden Eagle. Congratulations to Caitlin Henning.
That's the high school report presented like no one else can by Chris Kale. I'll tell you what, Facebook Live, thanks to Speedy Septic there in Strasburg. It's the Big Z Sports Podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports. Christmas Day. We'll talk basketball. I'll ask you one question as the Cavs fill out the Warriors 99-92 NBA Finals rematch from the past 3 years in a row. Foul?
Yes.
Or not? Okay.
Yes. He was hammered.
Didn't
he was
even
hammered
finish
like
statement.
Four times yeah. in the last minute.
By we mean, of course, LeBron James. You see the report that came out, what was this, today? With just 1:16 a.m. Eastern, so just overnight, right? That's when this was released. The NBA, they call it the two-minute report, or the last two-minute report is what they call it. Do they do this for every game? Do they put this out for every game? Basically, the officials, they go back, look at game film. They determined that they missed three late fouls by Kevin Durant, and actually one by our boy LeBron James during the waning seconds of that Christmas Day matchup. According to league officials, Durant fouled LeBron not once, but twice on his way to the hoop with, what was that, less than 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Cavs were down 95-92 at that time. They rolled it a block, which then went in favor to, they said, off James, back in favor to Golden State, which pretty much sealed the game.
Yeah, what a. I mean, it was a good game.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about them? By them, I mean these NBA officials coming out a couple days later saying, we missed this call, we missed that call, we missed that call. They also go through this article and list many other calls that they failed to call throughout the game or that they just didn't plain did not see on the court. But do you like this report coming out saying, hey, we missed this call, we missed that? Does it tarnish the game?
I mean, I think it does a little bit, but here's the deal with officials. They're human
just like a foul, man.
You're right, but they're human just like everybody, right? Yeah. Rather it's... You know, an umpire that's calling balls and strikes, an official on a basketball floor calling fouls or whatever, or traveling violations, and an official on the football field calling a pass interference call. A lot of these are judgment calls. A lot of them are, you know, split-second decisions, and sometimes you make mistakes. I almost agree with what Jeff Van Gundy was talking about. And why not go back if you're trying to use replay to protect the officials? Then protect the officials. Why not go back under 2 minutes and say, okay, we're not only going to go and review the fact that the ball went out of bounds off of two different people, who did it go out of bounds off of, but we're going to review, did that guy get hammered or not? And allow them to say, hey, you know what? We missed that. We're going to go ahead and call the foul. Does that tarnish it or complicate the game in the last 2 minutes? It does. But, I mean, goodness gracious, if you want to get it right, they got replay stuff in the NFL as well.
I don't know if it will complicate the game or elongate the whole replay process. Because, listen, if they're going to look at a replay anyway like they did with that, didn't they look at the replay to see who the ball went out on? If they see a foul there, if they're already – now, don't go to replay to say, hey, is it a foul, is it not a foul? You just go for all questionable calls like they do in the final 2 minutes. But I don't know if they can make that call in-game when they don't call it right then and there. It'd be like the same thing in the NFL if they're looking at a catch and they say, oh, wow, that was actually pass interference. Let's throw the flag. You know what I mean?
But in a way, they do it in baseball because they go back and they say, oh, well, we called the guy safe or whatever. You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot of judgment calls in baseball, but even the home runs. Oh, well, you know, we ruled it a double, but we seen it hit the line. It's actually a home run.
Here's one reason probably why the NBA won't change that rule. And the rule being, say if there's a controversial call at the end, if they go and look at it and realize, oh, there should have been a foul here, we missed, and then they end up calling that. The reason they won't is because, look, this game was played on, what, Monday?
Yep.
It's now 2 days later. Yep. We're still talking about it. Yeah. It's one of the hottest topics still in the sports world. LeBron ended up with 20 points, 6 boards, 6 assists in that game. How about Kevin Love, though? 31 points, 18 rebounds. Wade had 13 off the bench, but Chris, where was the rest of the bench for the Cavs in that game?
Well, where was Kevin Love at the end of the game?
Yeah.
On the bench.
Yeah.
I was a little stunned by that, too.
Normally, sometimes he can be a defensive liability out there.
Yeah, but I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, he was having a great game, and you end up putting him on the bench, and then, of course, you know, the Warriors went in without Stephenie Curry.
Cavs without Isaiah Thomas either. Yeah. We still don't know what we have there.
Who's probably going to be back next week against Boston.
Yeah.
You've seen what he warmed up with the Charge the other night. Looked good.
Actually, yeah, warmed
up. Posted a video of him dunking.
I think he warmed up with the Cavs, if not Christmas Day also.
Yeah.
Couple games ago. Yeah. But Jeff Green, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson, when we play these big-time games, those guys are going to have to show up off the bench. Korver, he's had horrible games against the Warriors going back to the finals last year and that game on Christmas Day. IT, you mentioned, probably coming back that game against Boston. He's had with that one circled on his calendar for quite some time. Speaking of Boston, they had a Christmas Day matchup, hosted Washington. They lost to the Wizards, 111-103.
They weren't doing the John Wall.
I don't see a Celtics hat today.
No, I did not wear my Celtics hat. I almost wore my new Steelers Salute to Troops hoodie that Gina and the girls got me, but I got ketchup on it a little bit.
So you had to change, did you?
Yeah, what were you eating? I was eating French fries. It was actually yesterday. I wore it for a couple hours yesterday. I was going to wear it today just to have it on. But
gotcha.
It was up at Rockne's, a little ketchup.
Love Rockne's. I used to work there. Used to work at the one in Kent.
No, you didn't.
Swear to God.
Really?
The one in Kent. Used to work there.
Nice. Yeah. Love me some. The Terminator.
Terminator's awesome. If you're into salads, get the buffalo chicken salad every now and again with some soup. It's off. I still eat there to this day at Rockne's.
So. I know. I do too. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I mean, it is what it is. Boston loses 111-103.
They've been struggling as of late. The month of December, right?
Yeah. I mean, they had, I don't know. It was abysmal. I don't know what their deal is.
They're a young team. That's what their deal is.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just had, Jaylen Brown got dinged up a little bit, and it was like, they came back, they took the lead. Jaylen Brown dinged up an ankle, and then they went quiet the rest of the day.
Did you see or hear the sound John Wall was talking to Kyrie during that game? He goes, "Hey, can I get a pair of Kyries?
No, I did not hear that.
There's some funny sound there on the court. Those two mic'd up. The Cavs, the next few games, of course, tonight at Sacramento, right? Mm-hmm. I meant to quiz you. That's, by the way, where LeBron played his first ever career NBA game at Sacramento.
Really?
Yeah, back in his rookie year, which... Gosh, seems so long.
They opened
ago.
Up at home that year.
No. At Sacramento. No. He was clearly the best player on the floor, even at age, 19 then. Boston at Charlotte tonight, and then Golden State hosting Utah. If you're a Cavs fan, Chris, really the two teams you're looking at all season long, maybe Toronto, who's ahead of Cleveland in the East standings, but Boston and Golden State, we're eyeballing those two all year.
Yeah, right now, if you look at the East, Toronto does lead the East, even though they lost their six-game losing streak last night.
It's real tight, though.
Yeah, they're 23-9. Boston's 27-10. Cavs are 24-10. So it's just a matter of one loss and a couple wins. In the West, Golden State leads 27-7. Over Houston, who's 25-7, and San Antonio won last night. They're 24-11.
Then after
those
that,
are your top three teams.
Just like in the East, it's the same thing in the West. After the top three teams, there's a pretty big drop off because in the East, the four seed is Detroit. They're not going to make any noise come playoff time. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, they're a young squad. They're fourth in the West. A bunch of young players there too.
Minnesota is a team that I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs.
But
though.
Hey, let me ask you this: where's Oklahoma City? Their big three down there.
They get PG-13.
They're trying hard to gel, but it's tough.
Yeah. PG-13's been so inconsistent. It's been crazy. So, you know, they did get the big win over Houston, though, 112-107 on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, what do you have the other Christmas Day scores?
I do. The 76ers beat the Knicks 105-98.
Didn't Enes Kanter go nuts in that game?
Yeah, Kanter's. Yeah, and you know he's getting arrested.
Yeah.
He's got to go back to Turkey or something.
No, if he does... Because he spoke out against the government over there, and that's like against the law. They'll jail you.
So, they're talking like 20 years in jail or something.
If he
like
goes
that.
Back, he's banned from his homeland. He can't ever go back.
Right.
Can't go back.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought they were trying to get to extradite him back.
Nah, that's not going to happen. I mean, that's not going to happen. But what happened was he was trying to come home. Something happened, I think, with his visa or travel issues. And he blasted the government on social media. So if he goes back, they'll try him.
Yeah. That's crazy. I wouldn't want to end up in jail. Why couldn't we do that over here? You blast Donald Trump, you go to jail.
Hey, because we can't.
Whoa.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Everybody'd be going to jail.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. And then that game that we talked about, of course, Oklahoma City over Houston. The Cavs and Boston both lost. And then the nightcap was Minnesota over the...
I was snoozing.
121-104.
I mentioned the Cavs tonight. Their next game after this evening, Saturday at Utah. So they'll remain out west. Golden State on Christmas Day at Sacramento tonight. They're staying on the West Coast at Utah on Saturday. That's actually LeBron's birthday on Saturday. My wife's birthday, too, that day.
Nice. Well, happy birthday, Becca. Did you see the awful jerseys that Utah's got coming? I don't know if it's for that game.
No.
But their secondary... Oh,
are they green?
No, they're yellow and orange. Dude, they are terrible. It looks like a sunset on their jersey. It's so bad.
I'm going to have to check it out. The best ones were the mid-90s, Karl Malone and John
yes,
Stockton.
Yes, those
with
were
the,
good
with
ones.
The mountain under. Yep. Anyway, we're getting way off course. Yes. Tuesday, the Cavs are back home against Portland. That's next week, obviously. Then 1 week from today, we already mentioned it, that game at Boston. That's the game we're eyeing Isaiah Thomas's return for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then Cavs-Warriors actually play again on January the 15th, so in just a few weeks here. I know we can take a little bit of stock into the Christmas Day game between Cavs and the Warriors, but Steph Curry's back and Isaiah Thomas is back for...
Different game.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
But still, though, hey, the finals aren't until June. We still have all of January, February, March, April, May... Finals aren't potentially until like 6 months away.
Well, and a lot of things can happen, right? I mean, anything can happen. Plus, both teams are going to have the chance to gel. Bottom line is, I hope Isaiah Thomas plays well. I hope he comes back. I hope he's healthy. I hope he helps the Cavs out. I really do. He's a good kid.
Chance of the Cavs getting the player they got or that Boston had last year, third in the league in scoring, I think second or first in fourth quarter scoring with almost 10 points per game. I think it's going to be tough to get that player back.
Yeah.
But if we get a player back that can score 20 a game and come in the clutch in that fourth quarter spot, we'll take it.
Because it takes the heat off of LeBron in the fourth quarter. Have somebody else to go to, now all of a sudden you can't double-team LeBron on out-of-bounds plays. You've got to cover IT. Also,
we all know, I mean, even though Dwayne Wade's aging, he's going to get some rest throughout the regular season. But come playoff time and crunch time, May and June, when Wade's on the floor, come crunch time too, he's going to have to be accounted for as well. IT will just help spread the floor a little bit. College basketball Saturday, the Buckeyes fell to North Carolina. That game was in New Orleans, 86-72, the Tar Heels. UCLA, though, they upset number 7 Kentucky, 83-75. Kind of a shocker there.
Yeah. Nolans.
Nolans, yeah. Or NOLA.
Right? NOLA, yeah.
That's also what they call it there. Yep, yep. We're sounding extremely old right now. in the MAC, Toledo over Cleveland State, 77-62 on Saturday. Cleveland State, the Vikings are struggling. Akron, they lost to Princeton, 64-62. Then on Christmas Day, Akron lost again to Davidson, 91-78. The Zips, poor Zips, man. They got blown out in their bowl game, right, 50-3. Then they lost 3 games in a row. In Hawaii, at least they're in Hawaii, though. They lost to USC earlier last week. Then I just mentioned Princeton and Davidson. Poor Zips, man.
Who went to Davidson?
Steph Curry did.
There you go.
Actually, yeah, exactly.
Figured I'd throw that on you.
Good.
I knew you knew.
Tonight, nice trivia, though. I'm always a fan of trivia. Tonight, no real college basketball games to mention. Really, Friday is what we have to wait for. Louisville at number 16, Kentucky. Big rivalry game there. No Rick Pitino there.
No, I think he's in some sort of trouble or scandal or something.
And then I mentioned the Vikings of Cleveland State are struggling. They have to go to number 2, Michigan State. That should be ugly. And then the Buckeyes on Saturday host Miami of Ohio. College basketball. That college basketball season won't really ramp up until we get mid-January.
Yeah, we ain't worried about that until after bowl games.
Yeah.
Did you hear Rick Pitino, that whole scandal and stuff, had something to do with girls, didn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
I heard he likes girls.
I believe so. Thanks for that.
All right.
Now, we'll now try and transition into the NFL, where the Browns are now 0-15, one game away from infamy, from, I was going to say turmoil, but hey, the franchise is already in turmoil. Last week, they lost at Chicago 20-3. Browns at Steelers this week. Steelers over the Texans 34-6. That was your Christmas Day matchup. Right there. 12-3 are your Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't you guys clinch the bye with that win?
Yes, that is correct. I got a quick question for you with the Browns.
Yeah.
Are they really going to hold this parade? Is it really going
to
happen?
I will tell you what. The folks who are planning this 0-16 parade and the folks who cover it or the folks who attend it are not real true Browns fans. That is a joke, really, if you ask me.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I heard that there's sponsors out there.
I hope
they've got this thing sponsored. And
I hope this doesn't go. I hope it doesn't happen.
I agree with you because I think it's disgraceful is what it is.
But I tell you what, the Browns are more bad decisions by quarterback DeShone Kizer, league-leading 21 interceptions. Yeah. He had a couple more on Sunday and some bad play calling by Hugh Jackson as well. Led to their demise. Just a blowout win, ho-hum. for the Steelers, taking care of business like they should.
You knew what was going to happen down there. I mean, with their third string quarterback, and then he got hurt. T.J. Yates got hurt, and they brought in some kid I've never heard of from D2 ball.
Oh, gosh.
He threw for 15,000 yards in his career, though, at Old Dominion.
Huh.
It was like Heineke or something like that is his last name. It reminded me of Heineken.
Exactly.
But he didn't play. I mean, he didn't play bad, but then Yates came back in, and you knew what was going to happen. But the Steelers, they clinched the bye. It all comes down to this week. If they take care of business in Cleveland and New England loses, New England or Pittsburgh will get the number one seed. If New England wins against the Jets, then they clinch the number one seed no matter what. Little interesting stat, though. James Harrison yesterday signs with the New England Patriots.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts on that is I love Debo.
Of course, Harrison, former Kent State alum.
I love Debo. He's the all-time leading sack
His
leader.
His workout videos are insane.
Yeah,
dude.
And you can say what you want about this guy being on steroids. He actually puts in work.
But can they afford to lose linebacker or cut linebackers with Shazier still out?
Yeah, I mean, they just need – here's the deal. The dude's only played in 5 games. He played in 40 snaps all year.
That's it?
Yeah. They didn't
use him.
They just use
him in situational pass rushing downs.
Yes, correct.
Downs,
and only in 5 games, though. And it's one of those things. He didn't even dress over half of the year. So it's kind of one of those things where does it really, in the grand scheme of things, hurt things? No. What I don't like is the team that you're trying to knock off, you just sent one of your best players of all time to them. Is a psychological thing.
You
and
watch.
Now he knows all the playbook. Not that Belichick doesn't already know the playbook. But
and you watch Bill some way, somehow use that and use Harrison.
Yeah, and I can totally.
For his benefit.
Yeah, I can totally see James Harrison getting a late sack on Roethlisberger in the end of the game to seal the game in Foxborough in New England wins.
You're already foreshadowing this whole thing.
Come on, dude. You can't script this stuff.
I'll tell you what could also be scripted as well, because the Browns, of course, cut Kenny Britt, wide receiver. He's now with New England still. Isn't he still with the Patriots?
Yep.
And Steelers, they have Joe Hayden, former All-Pro defensive back for the Browns. You watch, it'll be Kenny Britt catching the game-winning touchdown over Joe Hayden or something crazy like that.
I'll tell you what, Hayden played well in his return.
Good.
It was good to see him. They put him on.
Still can't stand it. I can't stand to see him in those colors, man.
I know.
Can't stand
it. They put him on Hopkins. He played well, other than Hopkins had maybe the catch of the year. He tipped the ball up to himself and somehow got both feet down as he was falling over top of Joe Hayden out of bounds. Incredible.
And the Steelers starters playing this week against the Browns. They're favored by 13 are the Steelers. It's on the line. Browns at Pittsburgh. Last year in the same spot, week 17, the game went to overtime in which Pittsburgh went on to win. The Browns 1-15 last year. If they win this game, 1-15 this year.
Okay.
If not, 0-16.
Here's the deal with this. Tomlin said he's unsure right now. I say you bring the starters in and you play and you keep your eye on the score of New England. New England goes up big, then you get Ben and everybody else out of there because you don't need to risk the injury. But if the Jets keep it closer, the Jets win, you need this game because then the road to the championship, to the Super Bowl, goes through Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so could former Browns head coach Bill Belichick help the Browns out and actually stomp the Jets? And the Steelers will be scoreboard watching and say, we'll go ahead and sit Ben. And then the Browns go on to get their first victory
of the season. And that's my question. That's my question to you.
Yeah.
Do you care if it's against Ben or do you care if it's against Landry Jones? Does it matter?
I don't care if it's against Akron University, okay? Or it's the University of Akron.
Win's a
excuse
win.
Me.
Dub's a dub.
I don't care if it's against Kent State. It's a dub. Like you said, a win's a win. Also, Sunday, Cincinnati at Baltimore. The Ravens are 9-6. Bengals, they beat Detroit last week. They're 6-9. The Ravens, they beat up the Colts 23-16. Last weekend. You have the whole playoff scenario, right? Yeah. It's basically win and you're in for a few teams, right?
Yeah, and not to mention, real quick, before we get into that, how about the Chiefs?
Another one. Hey, that's a catch, bro.
Kelvin Benjamin in the back of the end zone would have gave them the lead going into halftime. Instead, it was tied at 13. The Bills only get a field goal in the second half. They lose 37-16 amid controversy from Bill Belichick and the Tom Brady Chiefs, once again, getting a cheap call to help win them a game late in the season. I don't know. something going on with that, maybe?
Against a division rival. They went on to pound him in the second half. It really didn't matter.
It is what it is. How about Jimmy G, 4-0, as the 49ers quarterback?
I don't want to hear it.
The 49ers
could have been a Brown.
Playoff team, Jacksonville Jaguars, 44-33. Just a couple of quick notes in newsworthy there. The Bengals, they ended the Lions' playoff hopes with a 26-17 win. Of course, at Detroit, just abysmal from the Lions. You know, Bengals, they've been charged with laying down, obviously not. And then the Eagles, they escaped the Raiders to snag the NFC's top seed on Monday night, Christmas night, 19-10. Nick Foles did not look very good.
No, but it'll help them having a home field in that first round by the Eagles, especially with their backup quarterback. But NFC is wide open, if you ask me.
We just told you, you know, obviously if New England wins or Pittsburgh loses, New England's the number one seed. If Pittsburgh wins and New England loses, Pittsburgh gets the number one, both those teams on byes. Jacksonville's the number three seed. Kansas City, the four seed, they're locked in. So we still have two teams left, and that's going to be the Ravens and Tennessee as long as they win. They win, they're in. If one of those teams or both of them lose, that opens up the door to Buffalo and San Diego. And
LA.
Of course, LA.
I do it all the time.
I did it again. The Chargers, we'll just put it that way. The Chargers and the Bills could still get in, depending on what happens. But, of course, if they lose, then Baltimore or Tennessee is going to get in. So it's not as crazy of a scenario. And then you move to the NFC. Philly, obviously, the number one seed. Minnesota, the number two. They're locked in. They've got the byes. The Rams will either be the three or four. And the Panthers and Saints, they clinched playoff spots, but just not seeding. The Panthers could be the three seed, or they could be the five or six seed. It just depends. Atlanta, they win, they're in. Seattle is in with a win and an Atlanta loss, and that's pretty much the way that goes, you know, for that last seed.
Yeah, still, like you said, seeding can be shuffled around, and that's big. A three or a five, that's the difference between having a road playoff game and a home playoff game right there.
And then no Sunday night game and no Monday night game this week. The last games are at 4 o'clock.
They're all on Sunday.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I like it. Last NFL regular season, last week of the regular season, play them all on Sunday. They've done this for, I think, the past few years in a row. They've had all the final games.
Wasn't the Pittsburgh game, I think, was supposed to be on Sunday night, and they moved it because of
the game this week?
Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be on Sunday night, and they wanted it, but they actually moved times around because they want to make sure that those playoff matchups, they're paired together so that there's no meaningless games. They don't want, you know, a Jacksonville game that means nothing on Monday night or on Sunday night.
I know this.
So they just moved them all into the same
They've time. Done this for a few years where there hasn't been any Sunday night games or Monday night games the last regular season week. But Dallas at Philly, we already mentioned Cleveland at Pittsburgh this week. Some other games that may mean something. Two playoff teams, Jacksonville at Tennessee. It'll be interesting to see Jimmy G if he can go to 5-0, right? They're at the L.A. Rams and Arizona, Seattle. The Seahawks, they need to win and they need help to get in. New Orleans needs to win to keep their seeding. And then a Cincinnati at Baltimore as well. Week 17 already for the NFL.
Todd Gurley.
MVP Beast. Conversation.
Oh, my goodness. So the last 2 weeks, fantasy football, he had 53 points and then 55.
Let's
depending just see
on
the
what
guy
league,
that had him.
Depending on what league you're in,
Yeah, he's now in a championship game.
Hey, real quick, we still got to talk Buckeyes, man.
Yes.
Here we go. Bowl games going on. We'll recap a couple. One on Saturday, the Dollar General Bowl, Toledo. They lost to Appalachian State 34-0. Utah, they beat West Virginia yesterday 30-14. And then tonight, four more bowl games. Southern Miss and Florida State, Iowa and Boston College, Arizona and Purdue. And tonight, I'll be watching this one. It's the Texas Bowl, the Longhorns taking on Missouri. Then Thursday, Chris, Virginia and Navy, Virginia Tech and Oklahoma State. Those are two ranked teams. The Alamo Bowl tomorrow night, number 13, Stanford, number 15, TCU. And then a matchup between the Big Ten and Pac-12. Stop me if you've heard that during bowl season, because there's a lot of Pac-12, Big Ten matchups, Washington State and Michigan State. But the game we're going to talk about comes on Friday, which is a day where there's, you know, one, two, three, four, five bowl games on Friday, but it's all capped off by the Cotton Bowl Classic there in North Texas, number 5 Ohio State versus number 8 USC. And Chris, there's history in this, not only this game between USC and Ohio State. They played each other like 24 times leading it. Or this will be the 24th meeting, right?
Yeah, 24 times.
I'm done with
times.
That. You don't need that.
I thought you were handing it to me. Yeah, 24 times. I think USC leads the all-time rankings in that game, or the all-time wins in that series.
Yeah, the all-time right now, it's 13-9 USC. There's one tie in there. That came in 1949, 13-13 tie ball game.
Nice.
So, yeah, USC leads the all-time series 13-9. Buckeyes favored by 7.5. USC, just like the Buckeyes, they've lost two games this year. Number 16, Washington State, that was 30-27. But the embarrassing one for USC was when they went to South Bend and lost to then, I believe it was number 13, Notre Dame, 49-14.
Yeah.
That's comparable to that loss that Ohio State had to Iowa.
Yeah, when you lose to Notre Dame that bad, that's bad. Right, Tim Plants?
Although, yeah, well, now Notre Dame, they were ranked up there in the season, too.
Oh, yeah.
Up there high early in the season. But they had a couple bad losses late. So the Buckeyes, will compare some quarterbacks here, Chris. Of course, Sam Darnold could be, if the Browns draft correctly, maybe could be the number one overall pick in the draft. He matches up against JT Barrett. How do you compare those two quarterbacks? Who do you think has the edge who has the edge under center?
One throws, one runs. Yeah. I mean, really, let's be honest. I mean, I know JT has had his time throwing the football, but, you know, you think of Sam Darnold, he's going to stand in the pocket, he's going to throw the football. Pretty good quarterback. I don't know. I've been saying this for a while. I don't know if he's the number one pick. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft, especially with what Josh Rosen did last night and all his stuff and not even playing. What a bunch of hogwash. And now he's saying if the Cleveland Browns want him, he's not coming there. Whatever.
Yeah, there's rumors out there. And I'll tell you what, if the Browns value Rosen as the number one overall quarterback, the number one overall player in this draft, and he declares himself eligible, I'd still draft him.
Yeah.
I mean, do the same thing the Giants did with Phillip Rivers. Do the same thing a lot of teams have done in the past. Quarterbacks or players don't want to play there. You still draft them. You own that player's rights the way it is. So we'll see those two quarterbacks fare against each other. I know a lot of Browns fans will be watching that game to see how Darnold does. The offenses, Ohio State averages 42 points per game. USC, 34. Some believe it could be a shootout. Ohio State's defense, they give up 19 points per game. USC's D, 26 points per game. USC, they're 5-0 in their last five. Ohio State in their last five, 4-1. That loss to Iowa. I asked Joe Gekler for his prediction on this game because obviously he is not here today for the Big Z Sports Podcast. His final score, he said Ohio State 31-17. Chris Kale, I will now ask you, how do you think the Cotton Bowl Classic will shake down between two storied teams? By the way, Ohio State hasn't beaten USC the last seven tries. The last time they beat them was 1974, the Rose Bowl. So it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. It has been a while. I will say 39-13. 39-13 Ohio State.
I wrote down my score, 27-19 Buckeyes over the USC Trojans. We'll see how
we're all in the same ballpark.
See how they fare. Of course, other bowl games coming up too, Chris. We have the semifinals. That is on New Year's Day. The two games, Oklahoma versus Georgia, that's the first one. Then Alabama taking on Clemson in a national title game rematch. Last Friday, we were all quoted as giving our prediction. I think it's going to be Oklahoma-Alabama in the national championship game. Hopefully the Sooners will win it all, and Alabama loses two straight national championship games. I say Oklahoma over Bama.
I agree with you. Even though I'd like to see Alabama lose to Clemson just because then it would maybe prove a little more of a point, it doesn't matter at this point. I agree with you. I think it's going to be Alabama and Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. I hope they get it done, and I hope the Browns don't decide to take Baker Mayfield at number one after that happens.
Definitely won't happen. By the way, on the ice tonight, Columbus at Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock. Go Blue Jackets.
Guess what I got for Christmas?
Tell me.
My wonderful daughter, my oldest daughter, the one who I've spent the most money on so far because she's the oldest, bought me Penguins tickets for her and me to go to a game.
How cool is that?
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
How cool is that?
So we will be attending a Penguins
game.
Very
nice gift right there.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I was very awestruck. I've never had a... that kind of a present given to me by my kid.
You raised your children well there, Chris Cool. Kale, you and your lovely wife. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys had a Merry Christmas.
Yes, and I'm glad that you guys did too. The boys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Despite the flood, we went swimming. It was great. Went swimming in our basement.
Did they tear into everything?
Yeah, it was a good time. Never forget your first, no matter what it is.
Yep.
First in everything. Yep. With that, we'll end the Big Z Sports Podcast. We will talk to you guys until next week via podcast. And then Friday, January the 5th, 2018, is the next Friday show for Big Z Sports. Hey, we're on Facebook Live, courtesy of who again, Chris?
Speedy Septic and Drain Cleaning in Strasburg.
As soon as we wrap up here, the audio version of the podcast will be up on our website, WTUZ.com. Podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com, or go see him there in New Philadelphia. For Chris Kale over there and Joe Geckler, who is sorely missed today. Travel safe, Joe. Chris, talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
It's Big Z Sports Podcast on 99.9 WTUZ.